Blog Talk Radio.
Power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, ooh yeah.
Yakuza, Yakuza, Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening, knock, knock. Listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
All you had to do was listen to your Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look what that got you, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Holler.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
Thursday, May 26th, 2011. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris. And as always, my co-host with me is Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J. Cat. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. You know, same old, same old. You know, just hanging in there, doing the same. You know, we got quite a show for you guys. You know, before I get into anything, and obviously the theme for tonight will be very obvious, and it did start out with a little bit of an homage, you know, to before our intro, but when it comes right down to it, I can't say anything else before I say rest in peace to the Macho Man Randy Savage, one of the very best who's ever done this. I'm going to be playing a couple promos throughout the evening, you know, and you know, giving people a little bit of a reminder of the intensity and the creativity that this guy brought to the business. And it's really not matched by anybody. So, yeah, man, a tremendous loss. It's such a hard thing to lose these type of guys, you know, time and time again. We never, ever stop losing. And it's, man, it's just, I mean, what do you think about the whole, you know...
Well, I mean, I can't put it into words. Let me just say right now is that I had the absolute privilege of meeting the Macho Man back when I was 7 years old.
Right.
So about 17 years ago, and you know, autograph the whole, you know, the whole bit, and actually it was him and Miss Elizabeth. At I don't know if you remember, but after the Wild Samoan, if you remember
right.
him,
right?
So he used to run this wrestling school down about 10 minutes from where I live and said that. And actually, funny story is I was supposed to move, like, because I have the house that I live in now. I wasn't originally supposed to move to this house. I was supposed to move into a house and be next-door neighbors with Samu, who used to be in the WWF.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The head shrinker, one of the head shrinkers. But, long story short, it was at his – he used to have, the wrestling school, close by, and he had a Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth in for an autograph signing. And I remember being so scared of the Macho Man Randy Savage and him, you know, just being real cool about it. You know, I was 7 years old at the time, so – you know, any of these guys were freaking awesome. I met The Undertaker, too, but I actually have a picture
right.
with The Undertaker and Paul Bearer, but that's my emotion. It's a shame that, it had to happen to him, and, you know, nobody's heard from him in a long time, and he just recently, you know, he came back on the scene. Well, not really back on the scene, but, like, you know, signed that Legends deal, and, you know.
Right.
Really, it was more like an action figure deal, and, you know, so we got his action figure released, and, you know, I heard through the grapevines that I guess his wife is in serious condition as well, so, you know.
That's just terrible.
Yeah, we want to send prayers out to the family and all that, you know, I mean.
One of the best ever lost. You know, something that really stood out to me that, you know, I read an article that Yahoo put up on a sports blog, and it's unbelievable. 1991's WrestleMania 7. 14 wrestlers out of the 44 that had, I believe it was 44 people. It was over 25% of the card. Oh, no, 14 of the 51 performers that actually performed in that event are dead.
Wow.
Those people are the Macho Man Randy Savage, Andre the Giant, Mr. Perfect, Miss Elizabeth, the British Bulldog, Dino Bravo, the Texas Tornado, Joey Morella, Hawk, Hercules, Earthquake, Crush, and the Big Boss Man, all gone off of one card. And, you know, they did bring to light that, you know, hey, none of the 44 starters from the Super Bowl in that year have died. And only two of the 44 boxers who held a championship belt in that year are gone. So even, say, boxing, you know, two people died since then that actually held championships out of 44 people. You know, that's still, you know, not a great thing, but, man, 14 people off of one card, and, it's just unbelievable. I mean, you could say it time after time. Every time we lose another one, it's, you know, it just becomes more and more cemented in people's minds, but something's got to give. I mean, we're losing some of the best. We're losing some guys who could be the best, and they don't get that chance to get there because, you know, they more or less sabotage themselves before they do get there. And
but with Macho Man, though, like, nobody knows the full story behind that. And I don't think we'll ever know the full story about what happened with Macho Man Randy Savage and the WWE, and, you know what I'm saying? So who the hell knows what happened with that?
Well, yeah, and that's to me another shame. I mean, there was a lot of personal problems. You know, there was a lot of rumor that, you know, Macho Man fucked Stephanie when she was underage, da-da-da. Well, I mean, none of that shit really got put public, and, I mean, whether it was the right thing to do or not, but either way, he was being shunned out of the Hall of Fame. He was being kept out of the public light. He just recently got a little bit of ties mended and, you know, started to get back in, and rumor had it within the next 2 years he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, right now, you can guarantee within the next 2 years he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but I just find it as a fucking complete shame and a tragedy in itself that he had to die before he got in the Hall of Fame, because guys like fucking Pete Rose, who isn't even in the fucking Hall of Fame for the sport he played in, is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Fucking Drew Carey is in the fucking WWE Hall of Fame. You know, some of the things that have happened, yeah, personal, put the personal aside. I mean, are we talking about the sport, or are we talking about who's in the good graces of the owners of the company? Because if that's what the case is, then the Hall of Fame means shit. You know, it's, you know, and we were actually talking to Billy, and, you know, we were going over some people who should be in the Hall of Fame, including Ox Baker, and I agree completely. But, you know, there was, you know, Billy and a lot of other people were under the opinion, well, there's a lot of personal shit that went down with him, personal shit that went down with Warrior, stuff like that. Well, they'll eventually get in. But right now it's just, just don't worry about that. Eventually they'll be in. Well, eventually sounds great until the guy dies, and then it's a fucking crime that they weren't put in first. You know?
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with Lane, too, that, you know, Bruno should be in, but Bruno is a guy who actually went publicly and said that he doesn't want any part of that. So they kind of got to, like, forcibly put him into it, you know?
Yeah, they'll put him in when he's no longer with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. Yeah, their bodies of work is definitely impeccable. But you know what it is you know, as far as Bruno goes, he doesn't want to be in it. So it's kind of hard to give somebody an honor that they don't give a fuck about. And like Eric said, when they are gone, yeah, he will be in it. But it's a shame that Macho Man wasn't already in it, you know, and he couldn't at least, you know, have some kind of acceptance speech. I really, really hate to see guys leave the business and not actually get a good farewell when they're meant so much to the business, you know, even from the lower level, you know. There's a lot of guys, you know, B-Boy is pretty much not wrestling anymore, and there's a lot of guys that they're not working anymore and really didn't get that good send-off for working hard for what they did. So everybody deserves that, I think. You work hard enough in the business, there's no reason why you shouldn't be respected on your way out. You know, whether your time comes earlier or later.
Some of the guys in the Hall of Fame are in there, and people, these fans, they don't realize how hard they worked back in the day. Like guys from the old school, the fans are just like saying, oh, that's just another name, because they don't know who it is, you know what I mean? Because they weren't alive in that point, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, without further ado, on the line, we do have our guest for tonight, one of the brightest upcoming stars, Mr. Standing 450, Rich Swann. What's going on, Rich?
Oh, God. What's up, man? First of all, oh, man, not Mr. Standing 450. That's just a label. I'm not a one-trick pony.
Okay.
Rich Swann, baby. Rich Swann. But it's cool, though.
Absolutely. It's an impressive thing you do, amongst many.
Yeah. I try.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I figure we bring you on. You know, for anybody who doesn't know who this guy is, you're going to know very soon, because he's on a quick rise in the indies. And I figure, you know, we'll let everybody know a little bit more about yourself, you know, where you came up and, you know, how you got into it and everything. And
yeah, man, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I had some rough beginnings. Am I allowed to cuss on the show?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm not going to drop too many F-bombs or anything like that.
I do it all day.
That just slipped out. But, like, if you want Rich Swann, I'm going to give you the real Rich Swann. Like, by the time I was 14, my dad was murdered. So
wow.
I'm a little kid living in Baltimore, Maryland with my sick mom who had lupus. So, you know, I needed something in my life to where, you know, keep me out of trouble, keep me off the streets. So I moved to Pennsylvania with my aunt, and my aunt told me about this training school in York, Pennsylvania for wrestling. And I met up with Dirty Deeds, Darren Wise, and Adam Flash, Ray Alexander, and basically they taught me everything I know. Then by the time I was 16, my mom died of lupus. So fucking, I've been taking care of myself since I was 16 years old, and the only drive that I've had, like, ever since that, like, was fucking to try to push wrestling. So,
wow, that's incredible.
That's why nothing bothers me. Like, haters that talk shit, like, people that try to say, oh, Rich Warren's not a good wrestler, he doesn't sell, he blah, 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 he's a spot monkey, he flips too much, blah, 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 blah. Fuck him, you know what I'm saying? That makes me come harder. You know what? I'll fucking come out to a CZW show with a bucket of chicken. Because you know what? I don't see people. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? How fucking awesome is that? I could get people to fucking uproar over a bucket of fucking.
It was unreal.
Over a bucket of chicken. Like, I don't see fucking race and color. I see people as human beings. You either do good or you do bad. Fuck somebody over. Oh, well. You know, like.
Yeah. Now, how old are you right now?
21.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, you know, it's incredible, you know, the things you're able to do in the ring, you know, at 20 years old. Like you said, you know, you started early, everything like that. But, I mean, you're already at quite an impressive stage at 20 years old. A lot of guys don't get for many, many years. So, yeah, that's very respectable.
I appreciate it, man. I work hard for everything I got right now, man.
I figure we'll jump ahead to this, that spot being you had just mentioned it, but I thought it was hilarious and just really innovative. And, you know, how did you come up with that whole chicken spot last month? Because there's a lot of people who haven't seen it, and it was great.
It was pretty funny. Me and Alex Cologne, we got together, and I was like, yo, fucking, we're going to have a killer match at CZW. Motherfuckers didn't believe in us. Like, they give the ball to other people, you know, dick riding other motherfuckers, and then, like, fucking, they set aside the other motherfuckers, like,
all right, I'm not even
going to
get into that, but...
I feel you, though.
But anyway, like, fucking, me and Alex decided we were going to fucking go out at CZW, our home, and fucking kill it. And, like, I was like, yo, here's a Sanford and Son song playing in the background. Like, yo, Alex, what the fuck would you think if I came out to the ring with a bucket of fucking chicken?
He's like, oh, man, that'd be pretty fucking funny. That's racist as shit.
And I was like, that's the fucking point. I want to get that shit out of everybody's mind that, oh, because I'm black, you know, like fucking, like I can't even describe it. Like fucking, I'm able to go out there and I'm able to let shit go and I'm able to come out with a bucket of chicken and do a backflip, a whole fucking spot with a piece of chicken in my hand, like. Come on now, like how innovative can you get, man? Like, and it was over not because I was black, because it was funny. You know,
yeah,
what
it was funny, and it takes a shitload of talent to do the shit you was doing out there anyway. So
exactly, man. Like fucking, I want to prove to everybody that you don't have to be a fucking thug or you know a gangster, fucking if you're black wrestling, you can be entertaining as shit. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can be entertaining this shit. Like, you just got to use your mind. You got to put your whole fucking brain, soul in what you love and fucking just give it all you got, you know?
Yeah, this. For those who didn't see it, I mean, this guy, you know, worked 5 minutes of the match with a drumstick in his right hand and, you know, put it in his mouth to do a backflip, counter out of something, the roll-throughs, you know, eventually shit got real and the chicken got smacked out of his hand. And it only went up from there. It was just highly entertaining. Yeah, man. I honestly, I just see such entertainment value in you. It's unbelievable. You know, even after the shows, we hang out, you'll either be sitting there with a guitar, fucking singing songs to everybody, or you'll be cutting Vader promos in the parking lot. Like,
yeah, man. Yeah. Like, it's all about fun, man. Like, everybody, I hate it how everybody tries to say that the CZW fans are bloodthirsty and they've seen too much. My buddy Sammy Callahan has said this before, and it's true. If fucking the fans ain't feeling you, they're just not feeling you. It's not because they've seen it already. It's because you fucking can't get over it.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm not trying to sound like I'm an expert or anything like that, because when I first came into CZW, dude, do you know how fucking sucky I was? Like, at best of the best, none. I'll never forget it. Me and my best friend, fucking Chris, the kid Chris Halo, man, like, fucking, we had the shittiest match in best of the best history. The
wow.
Shittiest match, dude. And like,
I can't even remember it. I'm at, like, all the shows, so.
Dude,
so
that match was shitty, dude. Best, it was the best of the best, Ego versus Sammy, and fucking, yeah, man, that match was the shit, totally my fault. And the only thing I remember, fucking after the match, I looked up at the fucking production thing, and Zandig was looking down like, motherfucker didn't deliver.
I'm like, oh, shit. I'm scared as fuck. But everybody told me, they were like, yeah, Zandy loves you. They look at you like you're the next Ruckus, man. You're good. Your boy. He did no shit. Wish he didn't. And that was stupid on my part. But, yeah, like, getting off track, like, fucking.
Yeah. But,
getting worked up, man. Getting worked up. Like, but, I can't see how people think the CZW fans are retarded or stupid.
Nah. Well, you know, back in the day, I know, you know, you had definitely worked for Unplugged over there, you know, with Johnny and them. Is there anything in between that before we do get into that? Is there anything in between that that, you know, we should mention before, you know, you did jump into that? Because I know you were trained by Adam Flash. And, you know, from there, like, what happened next?
Like, I was doing backflips and intermissions for National Championship Wrestling, which is the promotion in York, Pennsylvania with Dirty Deeds. And after that, when I finally turned 18, when I was 16, I was wrestling for PWU. Like, I had a couple matches at Clementon Park. Like nothing really big, and then World's Gym, I did something with the ECW Zombie. But like after that, it was pretty funny. And
Arson.
Like, huh? Yeah,
Arson.
Yeah, Tim Arson.
Yeah, Tim Arson. Yeah.
That dude's trip. Let me tell you. but yeah, like fucking after that, I went back to York, PA, and wrestled for this place called New Elite Wrestling. It was run by a dude named Judge Lawless and Ray Alexander. He wrestles like a WPW and shit
okay.
like that. Yeah, you know what WPW is? Like down in Reading?
Nah. I don't really know the area.
Down there. But yeah, before I went to CZW, I was actually doing a gimmick, El Negro Mysterio.
Wow. Were you masked up?
Yeah, I was masked. You can see that shit on YouTube, too. Just type in El Negro Mysterio. Like, you'll fucking get a kick out of it. But yeah, like, fucking, you know, like, it was crazy, man.
Yeah.
Then, like, I came to CZW. I hit up Maven Bentley, and like, I did a couple of matches with Ryan McBride and Marilyn and DJ. Like, he was like, you know, you got potential. You do a lot of fucking flips, but you got a lot of potential. And like
impression
like,
is crazy.
Yeah.
Do a lot of fucking flips. Yeah. You there, Eric? Eric. Did we lose Rich?
Yes, we did lose Rich. I don't know what happened with Rich.
Okay, hopefully he'll be calling back in momentarily.
And here he is.
Yeah,
all right.
What happened?
All right.
I don't know what, guys just hung up on the most entertaining wrestler in wrestling today. With
no,
the
we didn't hang up on you at all.
Sorry, dog, but I don't
know. Calling, dog.
But yeah, I got a ghetto rigged phone, bro. Like, yeah.
Yeah, my shit is yeah. I bought a new phone because my phone broke and I wanted the same one, and I bought a replacement for $16 on Amazon or eBay or some shit. So yeah, my phone is not smart. Believe me, I know. But yeah, man. So like we were saying, you know, you were saying the DJ at said you did a lot of fucking flips, and you're pretty good and potential and go ahead.
We lost him again. He keeps hanging up on us.
Oh, damn.
Oh, what the hell?
Yo, no.
And he's back on the air.
Yeah.
All right.
I
don't know what's up with your phone, but
oh, man. So what's up?
Now he just hung up again. He just hung up again.
Wow, shit, dude. shit is crazy. Some people just ain't got the connection, man. I don't know, man.
It's not our end.
No, I know. We have guests week in and week out. I mean, we've had, you know,
yeah,
shitloads of guests in the same week and never had really that problem. But
I know it's not our end because my internet
is,
over here is fucking...
Is he back on or...
Nah, he didn't call back in.
All right, hold on.
I think this is him. Let's find out.
Hung up.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm back again. I'm on a different motherfucking phone, dude. All
right, okay. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the same from Chris Methods. He commentates at NWA Force One, commentates at CZW. You know, he's fucking one of the best commentators on Independence today. I'm just going to throw it out there. But, yeah, fucking DJ Hyde, he was like, yeah, I'm going to fucking bring you down to CZW. And John Dahmer and fucking Brett Lauderdale, they pushed for me. And fucking I wrestled Ryan Slater on an NBA show. And after that, John Zandik came out. And fucking came out was like, you see this fucking kid here? Here's what CZW Young Power is all about. Give this motherfucker a CZW kid. And then he looks at me and he's like, do you know who the fuck I am, kid? John fucking Zandik. I was like, oh, shit. And like, he was like, you know, you always got a fucking home here. You know, I'm giving you the platform. Fucking use it. I was like, all right. And like, next thing I know, I'm in a match with Sabian. And like, all he wanted to see was the standing 450. He didn't want to see anything else. He was like, this match better be like 5 minutes, but you better get the 450 in. I want to see it. Like, all right. And, like, to be honest, I never tried that move on nobody. I tried it in my fucking living room. I'm not going to say what I... But I tried it in my living room, and...
You're not going to say what?
No. I tried it in my living room on a whole bunch of pillows. Like, and I never did the standing 450 on anybody, ever. And, like, I was like... Fuck, I'm going to tell him I could do this move. And I got lucky, and I fucking hit it on Saban. But I got fucking lucky as shit because I never hit that move on nobody. And I was like, yeah, I got something here. And then the next month I had that fucked up match of Best of the Best.
Yeah, I mean that's some serious shit. But like, when did you know what was actually what helped you learn to flip? Like, I know some cats are just born with that shit. Like,
yeah, dude, I was just born with it, bro. Like,
yeah,
like I just flip, man. Like, fucking growing up in the city of Baltimore, man. Like, it's only like a couple things you can do. You can fucking play basketball. You can fucking go out and fucking flip, or you can go out and deal drugs.
Again with the stereotypes.
Yeah, it's the truth, though. Like, you're going to be like,
nah,
a DJ,
nah,
and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because a lot of my cats, man, like, I hung out with this one cat, and he was just like, he never had no type of, there was no way he got involved in any type of extracurricular stuff. Like, it was just around the house, around the block.
Yeah.
And
yep,
this cat was just doing backflips off the front porch. And I'm like, dude, you know if you land on your head, it's done, right? It's over. Like, nah, I got this. And I'm like, shit, do it again.
Like, you can't get, that's the one that you can't never get overconfident. Because if you get overconfident, that's when you're going to get fucked up.
Mm.
Like, and when it's in your head, like if you're not confident about it, like, you know, you're gonna get fucked up. So you just can't think about it. You just gotta do it.
The one time, like, this dude was nasty. He never had any type of. He wasn't trying to get into nothing. He was just doing shit to do it.
Just doing it just
and,
to do it. Yeah, that's what it was for
I
me.
I had him on the trampoline one time. I was like, yo, dude, because he's like, I'll do gainers, and he was doing gainers, and dude hit like a shooting star press on the edge of the fucking trampoline. It was some of the funniest shit I ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, man. One time I tried a shooting star off the top rope, and like that shit didn't land too well. Like I landed like in a handstand position, but like my face grinded up against the fucking mat, like it slid across the mat. Like I've never done a shooting star again. Fuck that. I'll do it on the ground, but off the top rope, fuck that. Leave that up to Adam.
I've seen Rick Blade do enough shooting star presses that didn't work out well that I know it's not in my fucking repertoire.
Yeah, man, I'm good on that. I'm good
not
on
going
that.
Going anywhere near that shit. Yeah, Rick Blade used to point himself right towards the ground doing that shit.
I think the craziest shooting star botch I've ever seen was fucking my buddy Pac. Fucking, you know who Pac is, like the fucking greatest flipper in the world. The greatest flipper in the world. But fucking, he was on the top rope and went to do the shooting star and didn't go anywhere. Just like, it was just like he basically
landed on the top rope
and landed right on the fucking buckle.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was brutal stuff.
I was like, shit, that has to be the worst feeling in the world.
That looked planned. Like, it was so perfectly up and down, you know, but it couldn't have been because it had to hurt.
Oh, my God. I was like, there's no fucking way. I would never try to do a shooting star to that. Like, my man Jake Crist, he got some fucking balls doing that twisting shooting star. He did it best of the best. Another one, A.R. Fox. The fucking man right now, dude. A.R. Fox is the fucking man. Ain't nobody on the indies right now topping A.R. Fox. Like, that nigga, he's the truth. He is the truth. Like,
man. Yeah, what was, the time like, because you did work in, you know, PWU, and, what was your time like working with Trent back then?
Like,
any stories about that?
I wrestled him a couple of times. It wasn't like, PWU was not fucking big. Like, Johnny had sold it to Twisted Tate.
Right.
I'm not sure if you know who that is. They sold it to Twisted Tate. And they run out in, like, Denver, Pennsylvania. Like, it's not in the middle of nowhere, but it's out there. And I got to work
with them. With Atomic Championship, right?
Yeah, Atomic Championship, yeah. And I had to wrestle both Johnny and Trent a couple times. And, like Trent was the fucking man. Like, he came in, like, probably... Well, he came in really late. Like, we by the time he came to the building, like, fucking, it was already, like, a match or two before us. And, like, we had nothing called. And I was like, fuck, I'm scared as shit. And Trent came in and was like, yo, all right, this is what we're going to do. I did this with fucking Ruckus, like, 10,000 times. I was like, shit. And, like, he was cool as shit, man. Like...
Yeah.
Like, he was just cool as shit, man. Like, real cool. And, like, that just, like, that right there just gives me the motivation to fucking work hard and keep my nose clean, you know what I'm saying?
Of course. It's a hard thing in the business. Like, we had just touched on it earlier, and, you know, the loss of the Macho Man and shit. It's incredible, man. You just never stop losing guys in this business. And whether it's a fan or someone closer to it, it hits you hard.
Yeah, man. It sucks a lot. Like, and that, like, I didn't know Trent the best. Like, I barely knew, like, who Trent really was at all. But every time I was around him, like, he just make the room light up. Like, he was the fucking man.
Yeah.
But, Like, that memorial show just proved how much of an impact he had on people's lives.
of course. Yeah. I mean, I met Trent in 2000. Between him and Johnny, those were the people who got me into CZW, and I've been going since February of 2001 on regularly. So, yeah, he was definitely a chill dude. It's a goddamn shame, you know, what ended up having to happen, but, you know,
yeah, man,
I guess it comes with life, man. You know better than anybody else from what you told me, so.
Yeah, man, like, fucking, that's just a fucking, you know, like, life lesson learned. Like, that's an example to show people not to fuck with hard drugs. Like, legit, like, don't fuck with that fucking smack and all that shit. Like, it just ain't cool, man. It's just not cool.
The end result is not a good move.
So,
you know, getting back on a lighter note, when you did get, you know, rolling in CZW, when you did get, you know, into the mix and everything else, you know, how did things start going then? Because, I mean, you had Zandig and, you know, he wanted to see the 450 and, you know, you had guys pushing for you and stuff. But after that bad match, I mean, how did things really start rolling outside of the, you know, Sabian match and everything else?
Yeah, like after that, like after the Sabian match, like I felt like I was in, but I wasn't in with the boys yet. I haven't earned anybody's respect yet, you know.
Right.
Like, then after that, like fucking after the best of the best, I really was fucking looked down by people because, like, fucking, it was a stupid move. Like, it was a kid choice, and I shouldn't have did it, but, it was already done. That was the past. And, yeah, like, I feel that I earned people's respect at the dub and not became people's family. Like, fucking CZW is a family, like I said before, but,
right.
Yeah, like after Best of the Best, I worked Devin Moore, and, he's a real cool guy too, man. Like that match right there taught me that you don't have to go out and do a million spots to get a real big reaction. Because like when I watched that match, like I barely did anything because like Devin Moore slowed me down. So
yeah.
And then after that, like fucking, like got put in the Irish Drive-By.
Another thing I want to ask you about is because I looked at it, I was like, yeah, that's fucked up. And then it all leads traced back to Rich Swann. And in the end, I respect the shit out of what you're trying to do, but initially I was like, yo, Irish and Drive-By. Okay, you got Irish for the Irish guy, and the black guy you got Drive-By. Like, what kind of shit is that? Like, you could have went with all sorts of shit. You could have said drunken Drive-By, and then that shit would have fucked with both of them, but...
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Oh shit! Okay. So how did you come up with that shit?
Like I just came like again like fucking the same way with the chicken like fucking I always fucking sent text to McBride like guess what I'm doing Ryan and he'd be like what are you doing? I'm eating chicken, watermelon. I'm drinking Kool Aid. I'm riding down in my Escalade, getting down, having a funky party with all my strippers and all my hoes. I'd send him a random text like that, and he'd be like, you have to beat these black as SOB, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yo, McBride, what would you do if our tag team name was our Sharpa? And he's like, that's racist as shit. And I was like, yo. But, yo, CZW had to get over it. They love shit like that. I mean, like, fucking... People are going to get mad at fucking the name Irish Drive-By, but yet John Zandig could be hooked, like, in the back with fish hooks and hung from the top of the ceiling. Like I don't understand how, you know? I wouldn't be a fan of something like that, like, if I saw that, but, like, fucking people whine about names and chicken and black people and shit like that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, more or less, I mean, you're playing the Dave Chappelle of the independent circuit right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, basically, that's basically what I am. That's basically what I am. I'm the Dave Chappelle of indie wrestling.
As long as you don't bug out and flip off to Africa and
shit,
it's
all
good. It's all good. It's all good.
I think you
get to your head and run off.
No. No,
too popular,
good.
Gotta go.
I'm good on that.
Cool. But yeah, I mean, you know, once you got in there and you got the Irish Drive-By going, you know, how did that whole, you know, progression go? And I mean, you guys made a run for the tag titles. You know, you did a lot of things with that.
Yeah, like I think the Irish Drive-By tag team was pretty good. I thought we got a little bit boring towards the end.
Yeah.
And but we weren't really given the chance to really develop our characters. Like, we weren't given that spot. It was like we were put together, and then we were, like, after like our second tag match, we were given tag team title shots. You know what I'm saying? That don't make sense. You know, you gotta work to that. Like, you know, like fucking. I don't think we were built up right. Like, I don't think we were booked in the right way. Like, if that makes any sense. But
I hear you. I mean, I think you've been highly underbooked.
Yeah, like we did what we had to do, man. And I had a lot of fun. I Ron's my boy, dude. Like, and like, I had a lot of fun with Ron McBride.
Yeah.
See,
he's
a good worker. That whole thing, like those matches, and like the match that I believe one of the matches that got me booked for Evolve, two of them, the one was me versus Adam Cole in November, and like it was Night of Infamy. And I believe we were the Wire TV taping match, and that was a really good match. I have awesome chemistry with Adam Cole,
yeah.
And like fucking that's another one of my boys. And Adam Cole, he's gonna be in the WWE. Like, I'm not even saying one day, that motherfucker's gonna, I don't know if it's 2 weeks now or if it's 1 month, but that motherfucker's gonna be in the WWE. He has got to
be one of the best
characters. Yeah, like the look, the talent, but anyway.
I mean, you mentioned Evolve, another one of them Evolve matches that everybody's talking about. And honestly, me and fucking Eric have both been screaming, whether it was email, fucking Eric on text messages or whatever the harassment was. We had been screaming to DJ, yo, you got two of the best high flyers in the fucking business in your company right now. Please put them in the fucking ring together. Put AR Fox and motherfucking Rich Swann in the ring. And he's like, the time will come. We have different ideas and plans, and there's things that are scheduled. And I'm like, yeah, all right, motherfucker. But I'm paying for the shit, and I want to see that. And next thing you know, fucking Evolve. And then... y'all tore the fucking house down. I seen the fucking match on a DVD.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that shit, man. Like, I remember that fucking, you know, fucking telling you that shit, and then telling, you know, fucking hitting up DJ like crazy on that shit. Yeah. I even told Rich about that shit. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna fucking, you know, get that. You know, I want to see that match. I think I even told you that, Rich. I think.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it was just, you know, more or less put off, but afterwards, there was nothing but praise, and this is what high-flying wrestling, this is what fucking junior heavyweight shit is all about, and I was like, oh, way to drop the ball. I mean, how'd that whole shit go down when it finally happened, whether it be Evolve or CZW for you, Rich?
No, man, like, I would have loved to wrestle AR Fox and CZW, like, fucking... I wanted to wrestle AR Fox since, like, I first seen him. Like, I was like, yo, this could be, like my Eddie Guerrero, you know what I'm saying? I could be Rey Mysterio, he can be Eddie Guerrero, fucking, we can do that. Like, fucking some sick shit, like, And, like, DJ had his reasons, you know what I'm saying? Like, not to book that. Like, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have made sense, you know? But, like, they pulled the trigger. They pulled the trigger on everybody. Like, everybody that's being misused, I think, gets swarmed up and then becomes bigger stars everywhere else. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened. Like, that's what happened to Adam Cole. It's about to happen to A.R. Fox. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not even going to touch on that subject because I don't want to catch no lashes. But, working with A.R. Fox is awesome.
That was
one of my dreams.
Came off great, man.
Yeah. I'd love to have it at CZW, though. If you're listening, DJ.
Wow. besides that, some major, major shit. I mean, just recently, fucking worldwide shit that went on that, I mean, impacted the entire world. And you were in Japan when everything went down. I mean, give us a rundown on that.
Yeah, man, that was really scary. I wake up. It's real dark in the dojo. Chuck Taylor and Gargano. I woke up. They were asleep, and then I came back upstairs, and like the Yamato and a whole bunch of other people. Ryo Saito, they were all around the TV, and like fucking shit was fucking happening, shit was flying around, and like they're like, oh, my family there. And I'm like, shit. And it wasn't far from us, and I'm like, fuck, what's gonna happen? So they canceled all our shows, they sent us home early, but like watching my friends, like, fucking break down because, like the houses were being destroyed, like, fucking, like people's families, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was a scary situation. And, I was a little scared and a little, shaken up, like, to fly and everything because, like, you know, that's a fucking tsunami and a fucking earthquake. I don't care, man. Like, that's some scary shit. Like, that changed, that changed the world. Like, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little scared to go back over there now, but, like, this is what I love to do. Like, I love professional wrestling, and I gotta make that sacrifice, you know? So.
Yeah, to get there at your age is fucking tremendous, but, I mean, for that shit to happen, it's definitely gotta put a shock on you, because,
Yeah, man, that definitely put a shock, man.
Fuck. Thank God you're back.
I never wanted to be home so bad. Never wanted to be home so bad.
I'm sure, man. We're all watching from over here, just hoping for people over there. And then when you know, some people over here that, you know, are over there at the time, man, you're like, oh, fuck, jeez.
Man,
okay.
Another thing that's scary, like, fucking the nuclear radiation, you know?
Of course.
That's some scary shit. Like, I don't want to, like, trying to be having babies one day and one comes out looking like fucking Gorilla off of Mortal Kombat.
But
could you imagine how much money I would make, like, if I had a kid like that?
It's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Ninja Turtle or some shit.
I see Larry Legend now. This is the whole world heavyweight champion.
Extravaganza!
Yeah. The four armed freak extravaganza! I love Larry Legend, man. I hope he can
do that
one day. He's the fucking best ring announcer in the world.
He definitely
is. Like, fucking, I don't feel good coming out through that curtain unless I got Larry Legend fucking announcing my name.
He's phenomenal.
The best announcer out there. He's got a character, like, he's good looking, no homo, like fucking, like, that dude, he can make money.
he's selling hot dogs.
Yeah, he can make money, though, man. Totally.
Nah, he's good, man. It was funny because when he first got in, like, he couldn't get anybody's names right. He had Devin Storm and Devin Moore fucked up, but he announced Devin Moore as Devin Storm, like, fucking several times. And I'd be like, yo, Devin Moore! And he'd be like, oh, shit, did I say Storm? He's like, I just announced in New York. It was like, nah, it's all good, dude. And, yeah, he's cool as shit, and just, I mean, his ring presence and the way he puts his voice out and everything else, yeah, he's cut out to be a ring announcer. I mean, he's damn good at it.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
But, you know, amongst the matches that you've worked, you know, in your career, like, what were some of your favorites?
Well, my first favorite would have to be, me versus Sammy Callahan from the Southern Gate at Dragon Gate.
Okay.
And my second one would have to be against Fox, the one at Evolve 7. And then the third would have to be me versus Naruki Doi in Japan. Like, that was pretty awesome.
Nice.
Like, I never would have thought I would get a singles match in Japan against Naruki Doi at 20 years old. That was
that's awesome.
Yeah, like, that was nuts for me. Like, and I'm like, yeah, man, fucking, I'm really starting to feel like fucking I'm going to make it. Like, I feel like
fucking should, man.
Yeah,
you got to,
like,
put in perspective what you've done at 20 years old, and just, again, don't let it get to your head, but otherwise.
No, fuck no, man. It's like, I speak for this, if anybody listening, but this is fucking pretend. This is pretend. This isn't somebody, Ruckus told me this, man. Like, this is somebody's fucking imagination and somebody's head that's fucking trying to make it come to life. But at the end, it's all fucking pretend, man. Like, it's all about, you know, fucking going out there, putting on a fucking performance, and trying to have the best fucking show you can fucking have. Like, it's not about one person, because one person don't make a fucking show. It's about everybody in the back, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know?
We got a guy in the chat room, Dead Poetic. He wants to know who, besides Mark Merrow, is your dream match?
And that's fucking Sammy Callahan saying that shit, because Mark Merrow is a motherfucking man. You know what? I know that story, so motherfucker, my dream match match me versus Vader, which with fucking Mark Merrow as a special guest referee.
Yeah, you got quite the fucking
That's an imagination right there, boy. I tell you, that shit ain't
you
gonna
got
happen.
Quite the ability on you know, imitations and impersonations on people. So,
that's my, you know, my Stone Cold. I got the Stone Cold's my best one.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead, man.
Sammy Callahan, I know you're behind that goddamn computer talking about Mark Merrow. Well, you're gonna talk about some matter, son. In about a few minutes, I'm gonna walk down there. I'm gonna turn on the PlayStation 2. I'm gonna whip your ass and some fire pro wrestling, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Wait a son.
You're fucking going too late.
That's off the hook. That's funny. Yeah, I wish you had the guitar rigged up to do some songs for us, because I know you got skills on that side, too.
I don't have a guitar anymore, man. Like, fucking, I had to sell it when I was really, I had to sell my guitar. I was really fucking broke. And like I had to sell all three of them, man. Like all three of my fucking babies.
So everybody listening, y'all know my man needs a guitar. Yo, hook him up with an acoustic or something. He's got the skills. And Richie Swan, motherfucking donation fund over here. Hit a cat up with a guitar. I mean, seriously.
I'm going to make that run in Japan. And when I come back, I'm going to fucking get me a guitar. Singing, you know, to Chris Method's wife. If you're listening, Chris Method, I know you can hear me. Yeah. play sweet, sweet songs. Yeah, you hear that, Chris? Is your blood boiling? Yeah, I just want to bust in my room right now, don't you? I just want to bust in my room right now. that's my roommate. Like, well, I'm living in his house, you know what I'm saying? You know, because, yeah. But,
apparently, yeah. Sammy's saying you got a piano.
I do have a piano. That's the,
nice on that, too?
Yeah, I'm nice on that shit.
Oh,
shit. I'm nice on that shit, except for my batteries in it right now are dead. So I'm just a fucked up. I'm all fucked up with the music, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can beatbox for you. Like, that's about it.
You beatbox like, first?
Some acapella, like, or something like that, but.
You do what you want to, homie.
I'm not going to. In a teeny minute, roughly. Yeah. I'm having too much fun, yo. I'm having too much fun.
Dave Chappelle of the fucking Independence Circuit.
Yeah, that's what I do, man. I have fun. Like, fucking shit. If I had our true spot, nigga, please, man. I mean, I know I ain't drunk up like him, but give me a motherfucking needle and, you know. I'm fucking around, dude. I'm not juicing.
Yeah. You don't need to juice the pop lock.
Yeah, I'm good on that. I'm good on that.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Eric, you got a question, man?
I mean, is there anybody other than CZW want to work? You know, that maybe not your dream match, but you would like to work them in CZW?
In CZW. Only because I'm a big mark, I want to work Amazing Red in CZW.
Yeah, I feel you.
I don't care. You wouldn't be in the business if you weren't a mark. And, like, fucking Ruckus, Amazing Red, fucking, like Sabian, like, guys like that. Like, fucking, like, Blackout and all that shit, SATs, like, that got me in the fucking Twitch and wrestling shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And speaking of, now that you're part of the Blackout, how did that whole thing go down? You know, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, man, like, I feel honored, like, that's legit, like, I loved, like, Blackout, like, Ruckus was my fucking idol, man, like, you don't understand, like, when I was young, I had the same fucking money hoodie that he had, and I'd fucking, like I said, I'd be flipping on intermission shows, like, fucking, like, yo, Ruckus, check the two flip that I can do.
He was like, yeah, nigga, that's some cool shit.
I like that. and like fucking the one day I was in York, Pennsylvania at Rollaway. Fuck, I'll never forget it. I did like this 360 backflip, and he was like, "Yo, look at this, bro. Yo, Derek, yo, Derek, Derek, he was like, yo, Derek, come on, yo, do that flip again, Fred. Do that fucking flip again." And I did it, and he was like, "Yo, how old are you?" And I was like, I'm 16, and he was like, yo, I got some motherfuckers in Philly, you know what I'm saying, like, fucking, I can get you put on, just send me a tape, and, like, I was like, yo, ain't it fucking illegal to be, like, underage working at,
you know, and Philly, and like, he was like, man, you just need to get around that shit. I'm Memphis, man. It's like, all right. But
that never happened.
It's all good, though. But, yeah, man, I grew up watching fucking Blackout, and it feels awesome.
Yeah, definitely, that's cool.
Especially after me and House Cologne delivered, like, fucking, the people were definitely into it, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the match, and, you know, honestly, I'm kind of an Alex hater, but it's not like pure hatred, because honestly, I dislike a lot of people coming up, and then they turn that corner, and I was behind them 100%, so it's not like that, but it's, you know, I think you just got a little bit more to perfect. I mean, I think your next level shit at such an early age that it's crazy, but, nah, I mean, yo, he's definitely working on his craft, and, you know, he's definitely turning the corner and all that. But.
Yeah, man, Alex Cologne, Alex Cologne is one of the fucking best out there right now. He's coming up, like, fucking, like, he can do some impressive shit, and he has the most innovative ideas I've ever fucking heard. Like, between him and Sammy, like, they got the most innovative ideas, like, fucking in the business, like, fucking, you think taking a half and half on the apron was my idea? Fuck no. But, you know, their ideas was fucking awesome. Like, his ideas are awesome, and like, fucking, he deserves that respect. Like, he's busting his ass. Like,
no, believe me, I respect everything that's done well. I, you know, like I said, I'm not a hater where I'm just going to hate somebody to death, you know. But,
I know what you mean. You got reason to hate him. I mean, like, fucking, he was a heel, you know what I'm saying? But now it's his fucking time, man. I'm going to be gone for 3 months, and, like, him and Ruckus, they're going to beat the fuck out the Runaways, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna
Are you going to be gone for a few months?
Yeah, man.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Japan.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a
pimp.
Yeah.
He don't
give a fuck.
But, yeah, man.
That's crazy.
It's out at this time, man. He's like, I think he's going to shock a lot of people.
I don't doubt that whatsoever, man. I mean, there's a lot of people that I couldn't stand coming into the, you know, into CZW and everything else, and then in the end, I ended up being one of their biggest fans. You know, it's just how I be. You know, it's not against them personally. It's just I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Blackout is some huge shit, and honestly, like I've seen online that, you know, whether it's kayfabe, whatever the case may be, guys like Eddie Kingston kind of taking exception to that. She said, oh, there's a new Blackout. Yeah, make sure you keep them motherfuckers away from me, though. Like, we kind of...
I mean,
backlash?
Like, no, man, I ain't got no backlash. That's his own opinion, bro. Like if they hating on it, then they don't like it. Like, they were a part of it. Like I said, man, it's wrestling. It's pretend. You know? It's fucking pretend. That's all I got to say. Like, I'm not scared of nobody, but like, fucking, I got respect, and like, fucking, I'm not saying nothing like about that.
That's how they feel,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stop that. Like, no matter what I would say.
Nah, I feel you. I mean, there's spots that you're going to be put in. Some people may like it, some people may not, but I don't know, man. It's just basic.
Yeah.
Eric, you got a question?
Yeah. So, what'd you think about, you know, I know you work for Chikara and stuff like that. What'd you think about Chikara and, like, you know, differences with locker room between Chikara and CZW, if you can give them, what'd you think?
Yeah. To be honest, the Chicago locker room is one of the best locker rooms I've ever been in. Because, like everybody at CZW talking about, yeah, let's go to Nichols. No, fuck Nichols. We going to Downey's. That shit is hardcore.
And Shakara introduced me to that, and, like, fucking, I love socializing after shows and shit. Like, you know, like, I'm always out back, like, fucking around, but, like, I love going out and socializing, and, like, I got to know the people in Shakara. I'm like, they're not all goody-two-shoe cartoons, man. Like, they fucking know how to get down. They fucking know how to party.
Shakara
kid. Oh. Shakara.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yo, Shakara knows how to fucking party, bro. They know how to party. Fucking Jimmy Olsen, like fucking, like the portal, all them motherfuckers. They know, like, man, they know what it's all about.
Shit. I know if you could drink through all the masks and shit.
Huh?
I said, I know if you could drink through all the masks and shit.
Yeah, man. It's wild, man. I love Shakara. Like,
yeah,
I love.
It's cool, it's cool.
Yeah, I love every time I work for him. But still, you know, still CZW, that's my family. Like, fucking, after an IPW show out in Indiana, fucking me, Sammy, Alex Colon, Zack Sabre Jr., we all went and partied at Drake Younger's house. Now, Drake Younger, he is the fucking man. Drake Younger's the fucking man. House is gorgeous. About to be a dad, shit's together. Like, fucking, big ups to Drake, man. Big ups to Drake.
Definitely. Yeah, you got to come out here for one of our barbecues and shit.
No, man.
It ain't that far. It's like an hour or something.
Yeah, man, I'm down for that. I'm always down to party.
Yeah.
Always.
We got Monday, but outside of that, all summer we'll be doing a couple, so.
All right.
But
I'll just check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, outside of that, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got on me?
Yeah, I'm just, I mean, Rich, what other countries you trying to work for? Like, any other countries you trying to go to? Like, any other countries that you want to go to?
I don't know.
Japan's a jump off.
Damn. Japan is a Japan and Germany have to be the best places I've ever been. Like, those places are fucking sick. I love them both. I don't know. I'd probably like to see what the South African scene's all about. Like, I was looking at some.
See, you're ready Chappelling on us, man. I ain't, you know. I ain't going away from there, man.
That's the only reason why I said that. No, I don't know where else is hot. Like, maybe. Like, maybe one day you'll see Richmond in Ireland or Scotland or fucking some land, but...
Honestly, it's not
man.
Shitting on anybody, but everything is secondary to Japan. So a lot of people work all over the world, but when
yeah,
it comes
man.
To Japan,
Japan
that's the
Japan
shit.
Is, for an indie guy, man, like, Japan is where, like, that's their E. Like, that's their WWE. They
yep.
know damn well, like... Yeah, man, like, Japan, like, that's a big accomplishment for me. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else besides there. Like, as far as my wrestling career goes.
Speaking of the E and, you know, and all of that, or even TNA, like, do you see yourself fitting into that mold at some point? I mean, you are not quite the height that they like. I mean, talent doesn't even mean shit to them.
Me and my boy Chris Methods, we sat down and we looked at some things. Sammy Callahan's build is 5'11".
Right.
What's that kid's name? Hold on, wait. You know what? I'm a fucking. What's the dude's name that Sammy Callahan is big as?
Oh.
The dude that Sammy Callahan is as tall as, like in WWE. Like, you set him up.
Daniel Bryan,
like fucking, like there's no fucking too small for the WWE. Like, just the same way I feel about the fucking arena fans. Like, there's no too small. You just gotta fucking, we gotta fucking know how to bring it. Like, you gotta know how to fucking be a businessman, and fucking, you gotta have a fucking gimmick. Like, you gotta have personality.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have personality. And, like, that's one thing that I've been working on. Like, I don't give a fuck about spots. I don't give a damn about hitting a million flips or a million moves. I want to have one of the best characters in the business. And that's what I'm working on. You know what I'm saying?
Well, your personality is top-notch. I mean, if you actually just poured that shit into your wrestling gimmick, and that's not just trying to, like, fucking, like, butter you up or tell you some shit because you're on the fucking air, but that's completely honest. I mean, you're in the fucking parking lot cutting Vader promos and fucking playing the guitar and fucking, you know, parodying fucking DJ's entrance and shit like this. I mean, this is entertaining shit, dude. You put that shit out there for the fucking public, they're gonna eat it up.
Exactly. Like, I can see myself, if I work hard enough, I can see myself in WWE. It starts with you, man. Like, fucking, my man Lex told me and Sammy, like, it starts with you. It's got to be fucking in your head. If you don't fucking believe truly that's why you're in the business, to fucking be in the WWE, then you're fucking stupid. Like, fucking, it's got to start with you, man. And, like,
yeah, I mean, I agree.
You know, like, and it started with me, man. Like, fucking, I'm gonna work hard, and I'm gonna try to get to where I want to be, man.
Definitely. What are your goals? Like, overall, like, what are your goals? You know, you've already made it to Japan. As young as you are, there's people who work 10, 15 years and still don't get to fall, and that's tremendous. But what are your goals from this point?
Man, my goal is to be known as one of the most entertaining motherfuckers in wrestling, whether it be, like, in front of 30 people or in front of 30,000 people. Like, fuck, I don't care, man. Like, I want to be known as one of the most entertaining wrestlers in the world. Like, and that's what I'm going for, man. That's my goal, no matter where it be.
Fucking, I'm getting heat because people think I'm giving you a verbal blowjob and shit like that. Nah, I'm just, you know, I'm showing respect. I ain't even like that. I shit on a lot of stuff. Actually, Alfredo, I'm sure you know him. He thinks I'm the guy that shits on all the wrestlers. That's how he said, hey, what's up? I'm Alfredo. You're the guy that shits on all the wrestlers. I'm like, it's really not like that, dog. But, you know, it's this is how I'm getting heat from the fucking Dead Poetic.
From who?
From Dead Poetic in the chat. You had called him Sammy earlier.
I don't know who it is, man. Might be Sammy. It might be my boy Chris Methods.
Might be. Who knows? But yeah.
I don't know who it is. Like I said,
I ain't trying to blow nobody.
Yep.
But yeah, man. I figure, you know, before we do let you off, like to definitely get a promo from Rich Swann for the show, and maybe cut that for us.
Yeah, I can cut a promo. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Well, I'm here right now on a one of the fucking group I'm scared of when I go to Japan. Well, right now I'm on a radio show called Yakuza. And baby, I'm about to get off the motherfucking phone. Because Rich Swann needs to go to Sammy Callahan's house and beat his ass in some fire pro wrestling. You see, I've been training. I've been in my messy room playing video games all day, getting my thumbs ready for a motherfucking virtual rib. Oh, God damn. The personal beating that Sammy Callahan is going to get. Sammy, I just got back from Vader camp. And the one thing Vader taught me, he taught me. I'm going to have to go back, and that's what I'm going to do. Why? I'm off, baby. Peace out, bitch.
So yeah, man, you got any last questions, Eric?
There shouldn't be no questions. That was the end of the promo. That's where you're supposed to be, you know, getting off the phone. That was my cue.
What's that?
If you got any questions, Eric, it better be five. The phone's about to four. Oh, shit, I'm going to a tunnel. Three. You got any questions?
What? Yeah, Eric, you got any questions?
I'm breaking up.
You bugging out right
there. There you go. All right, well, what questions you got, man?
Eric, anything? Nah. All right. Yo, Rich, yo, thank you very much for coming on. Yo, I wish you the best of luck in Japan again. Yo, watch out for them radioactive spiders over there and shit. You be climbing the ceiling and shit when you come back. It'd be entertaining, but I don't recommend it. And either way, man. Yo, I look forward to seeing you back, CZW, back on our turf. And thank you for coming on, man.
No, man, thank you for having me, bro.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, guys. Peace.
Eric, where is Eric? Here we go with this. This is pretty entertaining. Where the fuck is Eric? That's my question. It's like, again, we're going to play that Where is Waldo game. We have 45 minutes left in the show, and where is Eric? Jesus Christ. Oh, God help us, Jesus and baby Jesus. Where is fucking Eric? Where? I can't even understand this when it happens. It does happen quite often. Too bad. Fuck. What I did want to talk about is the fact that yeah, where in the world is Eric San Diego? I don't know. Fucking shit, dude. He needs to get back on the air because it's pretty sad at this point. But anyway, what I am trying to say is that that was a great fucking interview, in my opinion. Rich Swann is a great fucking dude. It was a great listen. And, yeah, man, that's off the hook. I hope the fuck Eric didn't fall asleep again. I can't understand, because, like, my next move was definitely to play a Macho Man promo, which we have a few of, and talk some stuff. But it's hard to talk to myself, because I'm not all that interesting. And, besides that, what I can say is I was really, really appalled by the whole karma thing and the fact that she squashed people for a couple weeks, and next thing you know, she's possibly pregnant, and she's going to be out for 9 months. So now they had her, like, come out, break down in the middle of the ring, and start, like, pretending to cry, and this type of... I don't even know what to do with that. I don't know. So, yeah, it's pretty wild, you know, as far as the WWE goes. Yeah, you guys, just give me 1 second. I'm trying to just work something out, and I'll be back in a matter of seconds. So, yeah, anyway, there's a lot of different things going on. I you know, the biggest fucking thing going on right now is the fact that I don't know where Eric is. And he's my co-host, and he's the only other guy I'm talking to. So when the guest goes off the air, becomes quite awkward when your fucking co-host is gone. Don't really know what goes on next. Anyway, different things that I had to actually cover tonight. There's been quite a few things that have popped up in the recent goings. I had mentioned that, I had all these awesome promos from the Macho Man that I plan on playing for probably the next month of shows is going to be Macho Man promos. Obviously not tonight because my co-host is dead or I don't know where he is. He's probably with Macho Man. I'm planning on playing a whole lot of different Macho Man stuff, but it turned out that, you know, Eric had asked me, you know, do you want to play his music tonight? And I said, you know what? No, I don't. And ironically enough, I find out later that Macho Man had apparently told people, do not ever play my fucking music during my funeral, which is crazy because to start saying stuff like that before you die is it's pretty deep. So he had said that because towards the later years, as he actually surpassed the popularity of Gorgeous George, he had actually felt bad that Gorgeous George was using that music before he did, and he was kind of overshining him. So it's very interesting and honestly respectable that he actually started to pull the reins back, you know, in his later years and say that, you know what, I don't even feel comfortable using that music anymore. Can we just, you know, and please don't make that just me. Don't make that part of me because, you know, a legend in this fucking business, you know, actually had it and I used it and I became so big that, I didn't think I was going to get that big. So next thing you know, that music is playing and just didn't, you know. So out of respect to him, I definitely didn't do that. But before that, I chose not to play that because just playing the music isn't necessarily the best way to pay respect. The promos that I had lined up tonight, however, were a great way to pay respect, and that's not going to happen. But bottom line is, we lost a huge, huge legend, and it's a shame. It really is. Another thing I wanted to talk about is this funny, funny shit that, why do wrestlers lose their fucking mind when they hit a certain age? I just don't understand. It's just unbelievable. I mean, some of these people, you're like, that was a great wrestler. This guy was a great wrestler. And the next move they do is fucking just uncalled for. Just terrible fucking where the fuck did that come for type stuff. Like Kevin Nash, for instance. Let me just find exactly where this article is at. This guy was fucking, apparently, his son is 14 years old. And his son is making music. And apparently, you know, of course, you get into the entertainment business, whether you're wrestling, whether you're singing, whether you're, you know, beating on an empty paint bucket, or either way you look at it, this is what's going to happen when you get into the entertainment business. You're going to get haters. You're going to get people who like your shit. You're going to get whatever. So Kevin Nash's old crazy Grey Wolf Dash, he decided that he's just going to take it to anybody who doesn't like his son's fucking music at this point. It's going down. It's fucking, you know, bring it to me. You got problems with my son's music? Fuck it. So his statement was this. For those who have the ability to appreciate my son's talent, I say thank you. For those who say he needs voice lessons, he is 14 and his voice is not matured yet. For those that are just haters because he's my kid, fuck you, and I hope you wake up with a brain tumor tomorrow. As his career just starts, as he grows day by day, anyone with appreciation of music would see the growth he's made. If you want to rip my son because you have a problem with me, do me a favor and don't wear your seatbelt tomorrow. Crazy way how God sends assholes through windshields. Nash also posted, I see you people running your dick suckers, but I don't see any videos of you doing anything better than what my kid is doing. Don't hate. Which, all right, Kev. I mean, it just a little much. Just a little much out of a 50-something-year-old man. I just think that's a little much, okay? You know? I haven't heard your son, and I'm just going to join the group that says your son can't fucking sing. Okay? Go ahead and add me to your next blog, buddy. Thanks. Thanks, Big Kev. So, yeah, that's that. It was just hilarious that, like, he would go that fucking... Wrestling is definitely a highly criticized art form. You know, something that is very, very talked about. And, yeah, thanks, Brett. Yeah, Brent says, damn, the last one standing. Yes. Very, very, very true, my man. And it is what it is. But either way, I mean, there's just so many different things that have gone on. Another thing that I'd definitely like to cover is the fact that Fat Frank has decided that he's going to take his fat ass and fucking just sit down. He's just going to sit on his fucking ass. And unless it's another company booking fucking 800 to 1,000 fans in a fucking building, he doesn't want any part of it. And I think that's a bunch of shit, for starters. He had set out this statement. It's no secret after finally selling out Rahway Rec Center with Homicide vs. Tanaka that I was completely satisfied with that accomplishment and ready to call it a day. After JPW for the last 14 years and the NSWA before that, not to mention the years I competed in the ring, so why mention that? Before both of those adventures, I am ready to take some much needed time off. Before I continue with this, let me just comment. We keep joking on it, and we keep throwing out that reference, but honestly, like, last year when he fucking came out and said, hey, I wasn't even going to run a show in 2010. Don't bitch at me for attendance, because I wasn't even going to run a show in 2010. Well, that's a terrible fucking move as an owner, honestly. Why would you say that to the fucking public? Seriously, keep that shit to yourself. That there's no fucking reason for that. And the next thing you know, he's co-signing companies. He hosted TNA a bunch of times in Rahway and whatnot. And then he hosted fucking New Japan. Well, newsflash, these motherfuckers are more established and more fucking financially sound than you've ever fucking been. And that's not just fucking shitting on Jersey All-Pro, because I never had a problem with Jersey All-Pro. I supported Jersey All-Pro. I put money in there. I showed up there. You know what I mean? So it isn't something where I could say, hey, man, Jersey All-Pro, fuck me. Oh, they're garbage. That's not the case at all. I think they're a very good promotion, always have been. And honestly, I think the biggest problem with Jersey All-Pro has been Frank's fucking enthusiasm on the company. And now everything comes full circle and right back and proves my fucking point when he says, New Japan Pro Wrestling Tour was very exciting, and the money made from that and Jersey All-Pro hosted TNA events made us think, what's next? We have no interest in seeing Jersey All-Pro run events for 300 to 400 people. Well, again, Frank, what the fuck do you think is going to happen? You run an independent wrestling promotion.
promotion. Do you think every fucking time out in the fucking Rahway Rec Center or in the fucking Union City or fucking Bayonne or whatever shit fucking area you decide to run in? Because outside of fucking Rahway, none of that shit is even a fucking safe area. Nobody wants to bring their fucking family to Bayonne or fucking Jersey City or fucking, oh, you know, all these shit areas you run your fucking company in. So, bottom line is, what do you expect, dude? You know how many fucking off months that aren't big fucking shows, the CZW, fucking ROH, whatever, they explore and they get 300 to 400 people. And that's not a bad draw because there's guys that are running in fucking Delaware and shit that are fucking clapping when they get fucking 200 people in the building that they're blowing other companies out of the water. So when you're so disgruntled off of 300 to 400 people because, oh, well, you just got fucking dick envy off of the fact that New Japan and TNA actually runs bigger houses than you. Well, fucking newsflash. That's always been happening. Oh, there's always been bigger companies that are running bigger shows than you. That doesn't matter. You had your fans, you had your fan base, you had fucking reason to keep on running the entire time. And the fact that you choose not to, that's your own business, dude. You cannot blame that on the fucking business. And then, okay, I am glad, quote-unquote, I am glad to be walking away with my head held high, which, might add, I see this guy in fucking Walmart, and his head is held high. Like, he seems like a very, very arrogant dude. He lives 10 minutes from my house, and he smells the fucking air above him all day long. So, anyway, I am walking with my head held high from all my accomplishments in what was once my true love, the pro wrestling business. I need to get away from her to miss her again. Oh, boy. So then he says, with that being said, I want to thank everyone that supported JPW. When the time comes for a JPW return date to be announced, it will happen right here on the JPW message board. This is not my swan song, no pun intended. And it is not the end of JPW. Just taking some time off. And then the ending is, don't let it die. Support indie wrestling. Fat Frank. It comes off as a complete bitch move because he ran fucking two shows this year. He fucking ran shows last year, came up with shit houses, and fucking actually went out there to the public and said, I wasn't even going to run a show last year. Don't bitch at me because I only had 300 people in the building. I wasn't even going to run a show. Like, well, bottom line is, like, dude, why are you saying that to the public? Either don't run a fucking show or fucking fess up to, hey, well, we didn't get a good house. I mean, that does happen. It's the fucking indie business. There's no way that me as a fan needs to tell you that as a guy who fucking ran a company for 12 years. That's ridiculous. So, that's just my opinion on the things because I just don't see where you come off with that. I don't see where you come off with that. So apparently other guys brought a house, and then you were like, that was great. I'm not interested in running smaller shows than fucking New Japan. I'm not interested in running smaller shows than TNA. Well, dude, if you weren't interested in that years ago, there wouldn't have been a fucking Jersey All-Pro. The indies are the indies. The big times are the big times. When it comes to New Japan, they're fucking big time in Japan. When it comes to TNA, unfortunately, they're big time in the U.S. because they are the second tier because they have a shitload of money to blow and lose, and they're fucking, it's only a matter of time before they're fucking buried. So it's really crazy where it comes off like that. Like, oh, this was a huge success, but I'm not interested in
booking 300 or 400 fans anymore. Well, that's an arrogant douchebag fucking statement. Just like when you fucking make the statement that says, I wasn't even going to run a show in 2010, and I still did, but now you guys are bitching about attendance. Like, no, dude, you judge for your fucking work. You put out fucking work. You don't put in the enthusiasm that the other people who are promoting the companies that you co-sign on, such as the New Japan, such as the TNA, because they're booking. They're putting fucking effort into their company, and you're not. You're clearly not in it. You can fucking see it during the fucking shows when you're sniffing the fucking air of that gymnasium while a fucking five-star match is going on, and the fucking crowd is popping, and you don't even turn your fucking head towards the ring. That's a real fucking clear statement that you don't give a shit anymore. And that's your choice, man. That's completely your choice. But don't start blaming anybody else, and don't start trying to cop out and saying that, oh, I just need to find love for that. There's good shit going on in your ring, and you're walking around sniffing the fucking air. So I don't really understand where that comes from. I'm not a promoter. You definitely have far more experience of being a promoter, and I applaud everything you've done right, man, because I have supported your company, and I've seen a lot of good out of what you're doing. So I don't hate on what you're doing at all, but the way that you're getting this out, the way that you're taking this fucking little sabbatical or whatever you want to call it, it's gay, man. It's completely fag. Because it just doesn't add up to normal shit for a human being that actually, you know, loves their company, and as soon as they host a few companies that book more, I gotta take a break because I don't even love it anymore. It is what it is, man. Speaking of Ring of Honor, soon to be RIP. Well, they sold their company to a bullshit company, people who aren't even wrestling fans, who just see it as an opportunity to make some fucking money. And still unbelievable, I don't have a ghost. yeah. So, anyway, these guys sold their shit, and I think it's like Sinclair or something. They have a lot of fucking TV networks, but that's all they're interested in. They don't give a shit about wrestling. A lot of people have actually compared that to Ted Turner. But the difference is Ted Turner actually likes wrestling. He's always liked wrestling. Where the fuck did Juan go? What a bitch. So, apparently he loves Eric. Sorry. Not my fault. So anyway. Ted Turner actually liked wrestling, but, you know, I mean, when it came down to it, it wasn't making money, it ended up in bigger hands, and that shit had to go. But these guys don't even like wrestling, and they're the owners of this shit. So it's going to get a lot more notice on TV, but within a year, Ring of Honor is gone. Absolutely gone. Like, believe that shit. You fucking mark my motherfucking words. Within a year from fucking May 26, 2011, Ring of Honor will be gone. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine, because I don't want them to be gone. They're another great independent company, but independent company. And, yeah, man, I don't want to see that shit happen, but when you see the hands change, hands have changed a lot in fucking Ring of Honor, a lot. But every one of them were actually involved with Ring of Honor when it started and when it started to pop off. You know, it actually, you know, went from person to person, and whether their opinion was a little different here and there, it still had something to do with the people who actually got Ring of Honor going and they were within the company. This is somebody completely out. They completely outsourced and completely got somebody outside the company to take the company over. Brent. Everybody fucking left 20 minutes ago. It's sad. Even my fucking co-host left 20 minutes ago. It's quite a confidence builder on my end that
even my co-host and everybody who was fucking listening decided to stop as soon as he left. So that's great. That's fine. Anyway, like I said, I just don't think Ring of Honor is going to last without somebody who actually had the original intent of the company involved. But we'll have to see. It's just only time will tell. But if history is a guide to any of this, then obviously, it's done. It's completely done. We're gonna see. It is gonna get more TV exposure. People are really gonna. There's gonna be a lot of hype out of Ring of Honor within the next, say, 4 or 5 months. Huge hype, huge fucking push. All of a sudden, they'll be on people's TVs, and I look forward to it. But don't get used to it, because the second it loses money, like Carrie lost fucking millions of dollars to this fucking company, and so did everybody else involved in that shit. Fucking, they were flying in 3-4 fucking Japanese wrestlers, Morishima, Oh, man. They were flying in so many people, and there's no way they made that money back. So they were losing shitloads of money off of fly-ins and just putting all the best talent on there. Yeah, they put out their ass. They paid out their ass. Their cards looked great, everything else. If people didn't show up or people chose to download it or people chose to do whatever else, they lost fucking money. You needed a packed fucking house to pay for the card that they booked, and there's no way to fucking guarantee that. So, and they were fucking trying out new markets with the same fucking fly-in talent. They were just like, oh, we never worked there before. Let's fly in fucking 10 guys and let's book the fucking house. Well, you're delusional. You're the Teddy Hart booker, you know? You're the past, present, and future of wrestling booking. Well, that's why you sold the company, because obviously it didn't work the fuck out. So, I don't know, man. It's just... That's just the way that I feel. It's sad, but I feel that this is the beginning of the death of Ring of Honor. This is looking at a person with a drug habit that you know that's going to die, and pretty much saying the best you can to him before he's gone and walking away, because that's the bottom line. Ring of Honor is fucked. And as soon as they start to lose money, well... TV network guy isn't going to fucking stand for it like someone who loves wrestling and just wants to take the hit for the better of the business. This guy don't give a shit about the business. They'll cut these fucking ties the second they don't fucking go right. So that's my opinion on that. And as Ring of Honor being one of these top indies out there, it's a sad thing. It's not something I want to see at all. But it's the fucking truth. It's definitely the fucking truth. So, you know, we'll have to see as that goes. Man, I can't believe I can't play fucking 3 Macho Man clips tonight. I think that's the part that bothers me the most, because I still got to talk about what I wanted to, but fucking shit, man. I had some bomb-ass promos for y'all tonight. Well, still, I told Eric before tonight, I said, yo, for the next 4 weeks, including tonight, we're going to be playing Macho Man clips out the ass, because he's that motherfucker off of that shit. And the promos, man, bomb ass. How do you match that shit? So that is no bullshit. From next week on, for the next 4 weeks, we will be playing Macho Man Randy Savage fucking promos to take breaks. From what I understand, from my conversations with the guests as I did this week, we got Richie Swan on this week, and you know, bigs up to him. Much thank you to him again, because he's a great guest. He's a great guy. If you haven't seen this guy's body of work, please pay attention. I mean, his match this last month with the bucket of chicken thing that we were talking about was just unfucking real. I mean, just so funny. And that's, you know, some of what I consider what can fucking stop racism is everybody finding it funny and putting no more credibility in it. No more. Because if someone says some racist shit and everybody gets fired up, well, guess who won? The fucking racist. If everybody laughs at them and tells them a better joke than they just told you, they get mad, they go home and kill themselves. And that's the way it should be. And,
that's the type of guy, Rich Swann, you know, the Dave Chappelle's, like those type of guys, like they make jokes out of the jokes that are against them, and their jokes are better. So bottom line, it winds up spinning off and coming off as a really positive thing. And I'm a big fan of it, man. I'm a big fan of what Richie's doing out there, and I'm just a big, big fan of every fucking thing that he's doing out there. So check him out. Definitely check him out. He's on he's repping Force One. He's repping Dragon Gate. He's repping Evolve. He's repping CZW. He's repping every fucking buddy out there that has a brain and knows how to book the top fucking light heavyweight fucking talent is booking Rich Swann. Motherfucker's going back to Japan for the second time at fucking 20 years old. How many people you know who could say that shit? That's unbelievable. And that's for real, like, no bullshit. That's fucking, who can say that? You go look up motherfuckers that was begging for Japan for fucking years and see what age they actually got there. Swan's about to be back there twice at fucking 20. So, much fucking respect to him. On top of that, next week, we are to have the one and only New Age Punisher B-Boy, who has a lot of controversy surrounding him and has quite a career before him to talk about. And we will have him on live Thursday night, and I'm going to ask him to stay on the entire show if he can, because I might lose my co-host, and that's not a good thing. So maybe B-Boy will talk about the WWE and how shitty it is with me, or maybe he'll talk about whatever else I figure out with me. Play some Macho Man clips and all of the business that goes on. That's what I hope. So that's what you guys have to look forward to next week. It will be quite a show. Believe me, I'm going to try to get Eric. I'm going to ship Eric some of that 5-hour energy stuff, and that'll cover our show plus 3 hours. If he's up all night, that's not my business. But yeah, I'd be doing all sorts of housework. His fucking mother will love him. We're going to do that. That's next week. 5-hour energy on the Williams end. I could say that. I'd like to give a shout-out to Wrestling Soup, my man Mish, my man Joey Numbers. Check them out, wrestling-news.com. You can get the links off of there. And then the bell rings with Jerry Wiseman, who has gotten all the fucking 20. What the fuck, Eric? Just like they said in the chat. Jerry Wiseman's over there running it, and then the bell rings, and then there's what's the other one? Ah, oh, shit, I have more plugs. Fuck, I don't remember my other plugs. My other guy over there that ran the Billy Graham interview, Real Wrestling Media, I believe it is. RealWrestlingMedia.com. Check them the fuck out. We're pretty much done here. When I say we're, I mean me, because obviously I'm the only motherfucker that exists. And I'll bullshit for a little bit more. Like I said, the whole karma shoot is actually ridiculous. I just can't understand where that whole thing went. I just don't get it. I don't get where that was a good idea the way that they did it. Well, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give my big shout-out to everybody who's listening. Thank you very, very much, Brent, Lane, Juan. What's your bitch ass, man? Why the fuck you leave, man? That's not like you. Everybody else listening, thank you very much for responding, calling in, and we're definitely going to check you out next Thursday. I hope to have several people awake during the entire show, because that's my goal. I am always looking to have several people awake on the air at the same time. I know it's a stretch, but So anyway, what I'm going to do, guys, I'm going to take you out with a Macho Man promo via my computer speakers, and we'll check you motherfuckers out for next week. For a non-existent Eric Williams, I am J. Cap Mars. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week, Thursday, Yakuza Kick Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern. Holla. Yo.
In over the many, many years that I've covered professional wrestling, I have seen a lot of changes. A lot of changes in this great sport. And a lot of changes in a number of individuals in professional wrestling. In the World Wrestling Federation, here is a man that has not only turned it around 180 degrees, but he's gone another 360 and then
360
and then another 180. Macho Man Randy Savage, you have changed over the past couple of months like I can not believe, sir.
I'm a chameleon, yeah.
Chameleon?
Yeah. I'm talking about the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on, yeah, and the beat goes on. In the video scope, yeah, I am looking right into you right now. Macho Madness right now. Sugar is sweet and so is honey. Macho Madness is on a roll and it can't be stopped. No, Elizabeth understands what I'm talking about, yeah.
Why is it, Macho Man, when I sit and talk to you, stand and talk to you for that matter, that I think of old Sonny and Cher hits? Why is that?
Unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place me and Gene Okerlund go down that lonesome highway. Yeah. But don't be hypnotized, no. Reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate and you can mental telepathy. Yeah.
But the beat goes on.
But the beat goes on.
That beat in particular has got to include maybe the honky-tonk man, the intercontinental champion of the world. I know you're not getting along real well with members of the Bobby Heenan family, Macho Man. Not at all.
Let me tell you something right now. Talking about the greatest intercontinental champion that ever lived, the honky-tonk man is out of line. Yeah, because I am the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion that ever lived, and I am the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived, and I'm living now. Yeah, right now.
You know, he makes no bones about making the proclamation that he is. I'm talking about the honky-tonk man, the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Says I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can make romance. Yeah, right there, the fork in the road. I said go right. Elizabeth said go left. I went right. And then I understand what the situation was. I went over that one bridge, yeah. And then when I crossed that bridge, I found out that I was on the right side. And I said, Elizabeth, follow me, yeah, because I'm going straight to the top. The stars, yeah, the stars. One shining star in the night, shining brighter than all the other ones. And I'm talking light years away, yeah.
You're talking Macho Madness.
Macho Madness, yeah. Macho Madness rolling, yeah. You thought so, but I know so. And Macho Madness is coming straight to you, Honky Tonk Man, in the light, yeah. Because I'm on a roll and I ain't stopping, yeah. Elizabeth, go right and I'm going left.
Can I ask a question, Macho Man?
No more questions.
I'm sorry about that. Macho Man Randy Savage.
So there you have it. Come down to the problems that you have with internet radio. You're going to deal with this with Eric Williams. Ooh, yeah. Check us out next week, Yakuza Kick. Yeah.